Good. So we've been talking about the benefits of keeping our eyes on the Lord and trying to keep focused and staying with Him. There's something beautiful about learning to abide, and I think it's very timely that we're talking about this, especially with all of what we're currently dealing with now. And just a few bullet points that we wanted to discuss are: number one, what are the benefits of keeping our eyes on the Lord, and then how do we keep our eyes on the Lord, and then some of the obstacles. And last week, when our son was doing the teaching, he began to touch on some of the benefits of keeping our eyes on God, coming out of Psalm 16, which says, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." And so we talked about a few things, like, for example, keeping our eyes on God helps us against our enemy. And then he went to go on to speak about David and Goliath. And then we mentioned keeping our eyes on God helps us with our destiny and our plans, speaking about Moses and Israel. And then also keeping our eyes on God helps us from sin. And we talked about Joseph and his temptation. And he listed some other things on here. And I think it's really, really important to understand the benefits of keeping our eyes on God. However, keeping our eyes on Jesus doesn't mean that we keep focused on the problem to see how God is going to solve that problem. That's not keeping our eyes on God. You know, sometimes I'm faced with a challenge, something is happening with the kids, or something's happening in my health, or something's happening with the finances, and people are encouraging me to keep my eyes on God. Well, if I'm really focusing on the problem, that's not how that works. Not when things are going wrong. But David put it this way: so I keep my eyes always on the Lord, always, during the good times and during the challenging times, not just when things are going rough. And so, regardless of what season we may be in or experiencing right now, we can begin to adopt this habit of keeping our eyes on Jesus, not out of panic, but out of a response, because he's drawing each of us from this place of hunger. Each of us has been given this level of hunger to know God and to draw close to God. And that's why we go to church, and that's why we fellowship, and that's why we connect in different meetings, because we have been drawn by his Holy Spirit. So we are responding to him. So the question is, how or where do we begin? Where do we begin? Well, it's important to first mention that where you look is where you'll end up. You know, they teach when you drive to keep your eyes on the center of the road. If you're driving and there's an accident over on the right or to the left, don't rubberneck and look at the accident, because your car is going to end up going in the direction that you are looking into. And if I am focusing on the problem, my life will be geared to stay there and end up in a really, really bad place. So where I look to is where I'm going to end up. And so I want Dahlia to kind of pick it up from here, please.
Peter saw the storm, but he saw Jesus even clearer, that he calls him to defy all odds and overcome the storm and walk on water. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She saw the crowd, but she saw her need for Jesus even greater, that she refused to allow any hindrances to stand in the way of the answer that she desperately needed. Take a look at David's life. He's like, David saw Goliath, but he saw God's power even bigger, to a point that he could not see his own frailty in comparison to Goliath. So how is this done? Our time that we spend with God, meaning what? Meaning there's a basic foundation that we have in the time spent in God's presence. The first part of it is time in His Word, and also time in His presence. In looking at His Word, David prayed this prayer, and it's found in Psalm 119. It says, verse 18, it says, David prayed, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." So what is he really saying? He's asking God that you would cause me to see the truth, the reality of his word. And all throughout that psalm, he actually dedicated, he declared, he dedicated a full psalm, which is the largest chapter in not just the book of Psalms, but in the whole Bible. And it's all dedicated to the word of God. This is what he says. He's like, your word revives my soul. That's verse 25, Psalm 119. He also says, I find strength in your word. Verse 28, your word gives me life. I've learned of your merciful and favorable heart towards me according to your word. That's verse 58. I have found your word to be like treasure to me, more than gold and fine silver. Your word leads my way. It is a light to my path, and it is a lamp to my feet. These are David's declaration of the word of God. So how do we begin in laying down the proper foundation? How do we begin to lay down the proper foundation as we thrive to gaze upon God and his ways to us? It begins with the meditation of his word. I want you to consider these scriptures, and please, if you don't have time to take a look, at least write it down so you can go back and take a look at it later. First one is Jeremiah 15:16. Catch what this says, and I love these verses. It says, when your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. This is Jeremiah talking. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Ezekiel 3. Verses 1-3, he says, and he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you, eat the scroll, then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat the scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. So I've got a question for you, and this is the time where you guys are not going to leave me hanging, right? What would it mean for us to eat his word? What does it mean for us to eat his word? And I love answers, and I love like conversations that don't leave me hanging high and dry. Big five. What does it mean to eat the word of God?
To meditate in the word.
Okay. To meditate.
Yeah, I was going to say that, meditate and just believe in it, right? Believe that what he's saying, it's true, that, you know, and put it in, keep it in your heart. Yeah. Keep it in your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you think of the word meditate, what typically comes to mind when we talk about meditating on the word of God? What typically comes to mind there?
Okay, no. Okay.
It's to study and find the application that has in your life.
That's true.
The meaning of the word that you get in it, what it means in your life to apply that word.
That's
in
true.
Your daily life.
That's true. That's good. What else, Concha?
To make it your own, to make it a part of who you are, a part of you. To really
so let's say you're reading a passage of scripture, and let's keep it simple. Let's say you're reading something in one of the four gospels. And you're reading a story and Jesus is involved and he's interacting with someone. How do we meditate on a passage of scripture like that to make it our own?
It's like if he's talking to me.
Mm.
When whatever he's saying is good. Because it's and every good thing comes from him. So I make it my own by putting myself there.
Yeah.
And I make it personal and intimate. Like, because it's him talking to me. Out of all people, he talks to me. I mean, I know he talks to everyone, but I'm making it my own, like, and what I'm going through or what he wants me to see or what he's speaking into my life. And that's not just anybody, it's him.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's big.
Good. Anyone else have any thoughts?
I think for me as well, it's more meditating, and the word is, what does he, in what area of my life is he trying to speak to me? Like, what is the word that I'm at that point meditating applied to my word? I mean, to my life, and just feeling it, like, again, like it's part of you, right? It's part of you. You're meditating. You're just focusing on what God wants to tell you and use it on your daily life.
Has anyone taken time to dive into the story and you kind of put yourself there in the scene as if you're reading a screenplay and you're now the director of the screenplay and you've put yourself in the character's shoes? And whether it's, you know, Bartimaeus, the blind man, or whether it's the man who was healed of this or that, or the woman who was healed of this or that, do you ever put yourself in the actual story and begin to look around and you see the different faces and you smell the different smells and you really kind of jump in into the story? That is partially what meditation means. In the time where the Lord is speaking to Joshua and says, meditate day and night, it means to speak the word over and over again. In other words, you're hearing it, but I want you to repeat it. I want you to speak it out loud. I want it to be, I want it to resonate in your heart, to sink down deeper into the core of who you are. But it also means for us to jump into the story and pretend like we were there. If you've ever done that, what you read and what you gleaned from that particular time, you never ever forget. And that passage stays with you. And the Lord really begins to minister to you and it communicates to you and it begins to set you free, because now you've become one with the story because you're identifying with the various characters that are in that particular scene. Okay.
I also see it this way, and I don't mean to be too graphic with my words, but I kind of want to bring something across so that you would not forget the image. Have you ever driven down a field, you know, and you see that there's cows on both sides of the street, and you look at them and they're constantly chewing, right? They're constantly chewing, and you're look, there's no food anywhere. So what are they doing and what are they chewing? You know, and I'm sorry, but I'm gonna go there. So the food comes out, right? And they're chewing and they swallow it right back. And then later on, it comes right back up. They're chewing more and it goes right back in. This is what God wants us to do with his word. You know, when we sit in God's presence in the morning and I begin to dissect his word, I've been on this journey, or, you know, with God's word, and it's becoming so much alive to me. And I'm reading and I've gone to a place where I just take a little bit of the scripture. You know, I started a couple of weeks ago, I decided that I was going to start reading in 1 Samuel, right? So I read through it like 3 or 4 chapters. And then I heard this message that really intrigued me to kind of slow it down and dissect it even. So I was like, I'm going to start it all over again. And I'm going to follow this path, this to dissect his word. And, you know, one chapter took me 3 or 4 days to go through. But by doing that, God just illuminated his word for me. And as I'm meditating on his word, what I've studied in the morning is carried throughout the day for me. You know, and I bring it back up and I meditate on it and I remind myself of God's goodness. And then I hide it back again in my soul, in my spirit. And, you know, I found by doing this that I'm finding life, that I'm being rejuvenated all throughout the day, that my soul and my heart is being revived in him as I am thinking and pondering on his word. You know what? We've got such a treasure. Such a treasure in his word. And I want you to hear this. Like grain was purposely left behind for Ruth. Remember the story? Like grain was left purposely behind for Ruth to glean. God leaves treasure in his word for us to glean. You ever thought of that? Every word has a purpose. to the tiniest of details. He wants you to search out his word like treasure that produces life everlasting. We look for Jesus. So as we are searching out his word, we are looking for Jesus in his word. Isn't that what you say?
Yeah.
The reason why we take time to go through the scripture verse by verse is what?
It's to know him.
Right? Yeah. It's to know him. So this is what we're aiming to do as we're taking time to dissect God's word, not just reading my chapter and you know, having my checklist for the day, actually taking the time searching for Jesus. Take a look at this verse, Ephesians 1, 16 through 19. It says, then this is Paul praying. So remember this, at the beginning, David himself prayed, open my eyes so that I might see the wonderful things in your law. Here, Paul is praying almost the same thing. Ephesians 1, 16 through 19, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Of Jesus, of him. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. So we want to see who Jesus is as we search the scriptures, who he is, our Savior. He is the one who gave everything that we might gain everything. He is our Father, the one who loves unconditionally and forgives without measure, our help in time of need, the one who hears and the one who sees. There's a verse that says, the one who made the eyes, will he not see? And the one who fashioned the ears, will he not hear? We need to see and know. We need to understand that the God who fashioned our ears and the God who made our eyes was also able to hear and see, and that there is nothing in him. There is nothing hidden in his sight that he cannot see or hear. So he's the source of our peace, as he is known, the Prince of Peace. He is our Redeemer, the Groom who purchased us with his own blood, our Protector. He is known as our hiding place, our shelter and our refuge, our guide. His word says that he will guide us with his loving eye on us, and our good shepherd. Psalm 23, it says that he brings us much comfort with his rod and his staff. As we learn who Jesus is, there is a response to that in understanding and recognizing who we are in him. Like, we are adopted and brought into the fold of his family. And we are loved so unconditionally, cherished in his eyes, as we are called the apple of his eyes, that we are his, that we belong to him, that he covers us with and surrounds us with his angels, protects us as his dear ones and his own, that we are safe in his protection.
None of what she's saying is brand new. Like, we've heard this before many, many times if you've been to church a few times. But something happens when you spend time in his presence. When I hear these words coming from him directly, then it resonates with me. When I hear a preacher say it, I can understand it. I can hear it. I can be encouraged by it. But if it doesn't resonate deep inside my heart, then I have a disconnect with it. And then the enemy really comes and plays with my mind and with my heart. And that creates a problem. And so part of the thing is there's an enemy who wants to keep me as detached as possible from God, from the source of power. But we have the ability and the privilege to get connected with the Lord, to be connected to him, with him, being one spirit with him. And functioning and operating out of the power and the grace that he gives to us. But in order to do that, it takes intentionality. No one stumbles upon a successful life. No one stumbles upon a successful business. No one stumbles upon being physically fit and healthy. No one stumbles upon doing well in school. Everything takes intentionality. And a person who's well connected to the Lord doesn't stumble upon that. It takes intentionality. It takes focus. And it sometimes takes a team around you to kind of help guide you along the way and to teach you and to encourage you, right? And to hold you accountable in certain areas of life, because you have a destination. You have a goal. My goal in life is not to make tons of money. My goal in life is not to have a huge ministry. My goal in life is not all these material, physical things that are temporary. My goal in life is to learn to be plugged in Him. Once I get connected to Him, once I am rooted in Him and His grace is flowing through my life, then God is able to do what it is that He has called me to do, what He's designed for me to do, because His words to us is, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can't do anything of value. You can't do anything that's eternal or significant. But those who are in Him, when I am in Him, meaning abiding in Him, he says, if my words abide in you, then you will ask anything and it shall be done unto you. So I want to learn what it means to look on the Lord, to abide in the Lord, to be connected to the Lord. And that takes intentionality. It takes intentionality, and it begins in His presence.
So the first part of keeping our eyes on the Lord, we said, is to meditate on His word. The second part of this begins in His presence. David makes this recognition. He says that His presence is everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? That's Psalm 139. So like David, we ought to live with a level of awareness of God's presence in our lives. There is nowhere that we are that He is not with us. Just ponder that. Think about that for just a brief second. And I've got a question for you there. How would that understanding change our life today? If we truly grasp the idea, there is nowhere I go that His presence is not with me, wherever I go. You know, and Psalm 139 is my absolute favorite. He's like, if I go to the heavens, you are there. Wherever, you know, and I remember, was it Billy Graham that said, the tiniest of ants on the darkest of nights, on the darkest of rocks, God can see. So if we grasp that truth, how does that change our life? How would it change our life?
One of the ways it would change is we would do everything unto the Lord throughout our day. We would do anything to bring Him honor and glory.
It's absolutely true. So David was a worshiper, and in some of the Psalms you can see a reflection of his worshiping heart. I want you to take a look at this. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This talks about one who spent time with God, and it's reflected. He knows and he's aware that in his presence, there's fullness, not only of joy, but there's pleasure forevermore. Psalm 27:1, he makes this declaration. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What confidence does he have? He's like, he is my light and my salvation. There is no one that I fear. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? That is one that spends time in the presence of God, because he knows and confident in the reality of who God is. Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. What a hungry heart he has. In Psalm 27:4, it says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." When you taste the beauty and the goodness of God, you know what happens? It only leaves you wanting more. You long for more. You want more. And you know what? As we are in pursuit of him, as we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus and I gaze upon his beauty, I begin to become the reflection of his love. I become an extension of who he is. And I can't help it. It's not something that I do, like I'm working on. I just simply become. Why and how? It's because I carry on what I've been looking at, what I've been meditating on, you know. And this is our aim. As we sit at his feet, we are transformed by the beauty of his grace, and we become an extension of his love wherever we go.
Yeah. So kind of to recap what was said here, looking at Jesus, or keeping our focus on him, is choosing to take our attention off of our circumstances and to place them on God. It's remembering that God is faithful. He's always been faithful in the past, and he will continue to be faithful moving forward. It's remembering his heart towards us, right? It's doing what Paul said in Philippians 4, when he said, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything that is excellent, if there's anything that is praiseworthy, think on these things." That's what we're to focus on in the presence of God. And so it's replacing bad thoughts with God's truth, not being positive or positive thinking, but just replacing the lies with the truth of God, allowing his truth to penetrate deep into our core. And so it's choosing to list all that we're thankful for, even when we're not feeling especially thankful right now. It's choosing to see our circumstances as God sees them. And it's replacing our fleshly human perspectives with the heavenly perspective, or the kingdom perspective. It's understanding that God is good, and that knowing God is for us, and that he has good plans for our lives, trusting and entrusting ourselves to him, and our families to him, and our future to him, knowing that he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He didn't bring us this far to drop us off now. He didn't say, "Okay, I saved you, now you figure out the rest." He says, no, it's good for me that I go away, because when I go, I will send the Comforter. He will abide in you, and he will teach you all things concerning me, and he'll bring all things to remembrance concerning me. But what that means is, I need you now to go and wait in Jerusalem until you are empowered from on high. And they went, and they waited, and they waited, and they prayed, and they sought the face of the Lord until they were filled with his presence, until they were filled with his power, and they began to move and operate, and they were continuously filled with power. You read it in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, and continuously, even right now we're in Acts chapter 13 at church, and Paul again is filled with the Holy Spirit as he's doing what he's doing. So it's a continual thing. Why? It's a continual journey. We don't do one thing and then we stop. We continuously walk with the Lord. We're continuously being filled with his Spirit, with his presence. And as we continue to look to him, he changes us. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we all behold him with unveiled faces, are being changed into the very same image as unto the glory of the Lord. How does that happen? Because I'm looking at him. And in looking at him, I become transformed. My life becomes transformed. My heart becomes transformed. And that happens day by day by day. And I go from one level of glory to another level of glory. So, having said that, this is the time for us to open this up and ask some questions. What questions do you still have pertaining to looking unto the Lord, looking at Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on him? Or what are some of the challenges that keep you from there? Not that we're going to address all of them tonight, but we'll write a few things down so that we can get those prepared for next time. So what do you glean? What do you gather from keeping our eyes on the Lord?
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and say that I think for me, it's, well, I don't know how to explain this, because I honestly still struggle. I'm not gonna lie, like I still struggle to completely trust in the Lord and still, how can I say it? I have seen both sides. I have seen how he has worked in my life, right? Like he has been there for me, and I just can't see myself away from him. I just can't. I mean, he's my life. He's my everything now. But there's those days where I do struggle. I mean, I struggle, and I'm sure a lot of people do. And I think for me, it's been more because in the beginning, when I got closer or wanted to come to God or to Jesus, I was scared of God. I was so scared of him. And I remember joining CLC and wondering, what the heck am I doing there? Because I don't know who this God is. I'm so afraid. But I can say that as I started to kind of like, well, trying to communicate, I'll talk to him. And I was like, I can't, I just can't do it. So what I decided to do back then was read one of the Psalms every day out loud. And I, even doing that, I was so scared. Like, I feel like God was just gonna like send a, I don't know, like something and just like whack me dead or something. I mean, that's how bad it was. But as I read the Psalms, and I started seeing that some of that was written there was a lot that I was going through. And I started finding peace, and I started finding like, you know, like I wanted to get closer. So I don't know, for me, I mean, again, now the word, it's everything to me. Even though I don't know how to communicate with him, I still don't know how to pray to him, but I know that he knows my heart. He knows that I want to get close to him. He knows how much I desire to get closer. And I know as I read the word that I will get closer to him by doing that. But I mean, he knows my challenges. So I stopped kind of feeling guilty about it. Also, like, you know, feeling guilty that I don't know how to communicate to him or how to understand his word. And I just decided, like, who cares? Just read it. And just walk in faith, because that's what's getting me through. That's what has got me to where I am. I mean, thankfully, I don't have those thoughts of suicide. I don't have all those thoughts that I had, because I know he's there. Even though I don't see him, the word tells me that he's there, right? So, I mean, I know it's kind of like all over the place, but I mean, I depend on God. I mean, I like I said, I can't. I just don't see my life apart from him. I just can't.
You know what's beautiful is that when a baby is brand new into the family and they're just beginning to grow and they're making sounds and they're trying to communicate, they don't really articulate very, very well at first, but nobody blames them or nobody makes fun of them or anything else. It's the cutest thing in the world, right? They're making these little tiny noises and they're trying their best to say mama and daddy and all the rest of it, and they grow, and it's a growing process, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, as long as they're learning to trust and lean on and press into, that's the important thing. And so I really commend you for continuing on and continuing to read and just not accepting the guilt or the shame, because you know what, there is no guilt and there is no shame in our Christian experience. We're to live in freedom. And if all I can say is, you know what, thank you for this day, thank you for the life that I have, thank you for saving me, that's a great place to start. You're starting somewhere, and like any relationship, it starts somewhere and then it builds on top of that. So we can always grow, and all of us can grow in our prayer life. No one has reached and completed that journey, you know. So my hat is off to you in that regard.
Anna, I wanted to just share real quick something that I treasure about God and his goodness over our life. And it gives you a reflection of the tenderness of God. There's a verse that says, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, mm-hmm. you know, that's like the bottom of the 10-point. It's just a tiny little thing, right? And he says, if you have faith as little as that, right, you can move mountains. So what is he saying there for us? He's saying, if this is all that you can sum up from you, I'm going to use it. What does that mean? That means whatever you're able to give me, I'm going to stand right by your side. And I will work with what you give me because I love you so much. It's like a mother who's just in love with her children. You know, she just adores her child and she sees her child. You know, he's trying to please her whatever way he can. And it doesn't, you know, seem to add up too much, but she's looking at that and it's like with a huge smile on her face, ready to accept and help him with what he couldn't do by himself. That's our God. You see good. That? That's yes. our He'll stand next to us and he'll walk with us when we're ready to walk. And when we need to stop, he's gonna stop. And we need a breather, he's gonna breathe with us. And he understands. He's like, my ways are not like your ways, your thoughts are not, and it's above and beyond. And that's why he's God, right? But at the same time, he's gonna meet us where we're at.
That's good. Because, Thank you.
He's so good.
Can you tell that you got her a little excited?
Just a little bit.
That's good.
Any other thoughts about focusing, looking unto Jesus, and keeping our eyes fixed on him? This is really our time, you know, as a small group for us just to kind of connect. So.
Okay. Is it on mute?
Nope. We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of relate to what Anna said. Mm-hmm. I go through the same struggles, so you're not alone. And one thing that it helps me, it's I go through a lot of hard times as well. And I learned that I cannot compare myself to other people because that's when I start judging myself. Mm-hmm. Or for example, if I'm in the midst of any fear of whatever I'm fearing, I start to compare with even my husband, you know, saying, wow, he's so faithful. He's not scared, but I am. And that is when I'm putting the focus on me and that and whom is going to help me, which is God, my Savior. So I have to focus my eyes on him and remember that, yes, he knows that I'm going through this struggle and I'm having a hard time because he knows my heart. So what I start doing is I start saying some of the promises that he says, cast out all of the fears on me because I care. And I remind myself that he does care and he accepts and he knows me, what I'm going through. And I try to take my focus of me, of how I feel, but whom he is and whom I am in him. And sometimes it's quick, the change. Sometimes it's instantly, I could be sad and crying, and then I could be joyful and laughing. And other times it takes just to be still in front of him and in quietness and allow him to help me guide and keep my eyes focused on him without judging myself, because I judge myself all the time. I condemn myself, I would say.
You guys know that sometimes these problems that we're faced with serve as an opportunity for us. Like, I hate when I face these problems because then it brings up all this stuff that I don't want to see, right? Like, oh man, I thought I was done with this already. And it turns out I wasn't. But instead of it being a negative thing where I just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to focus on you and pretend like it's not there. La, 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 la. It's not there. No, it's there. And I'm allowed to see it for probably a reason. And the reason is God wants to bring healing to the root of that particular thing that has been plaguing me over and over and over again, and maybe for a number of years, maybe even decades. And so this becomes then an opportunity. I can bring this before God and say, Lord, I'm seeing a pattern here of something that keeps rising up in me over and over again. Would you please bring truth to this? And I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you. I'm not going to focus on myself and try to figure it out myself, but I need you, Holy Spirit, to bring truth, to bring freedom into my soul here so that I don't have to continue to grapple with this area of darkness anymore. I want to have victory. And victory is my inheritance. If Joshua and Caleb had victory in the Old Testament, and that was a picture of symbolism, you know, then I can have victory in my own soul. I don't have to be afraid, even though there may be giants in the land. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in seclusion or isolation. I can live in absolute freedom. And so God may be allowing us to see what we're seeing so that we can bring it to him. So like a good doctor, he can do what he does best, and that is bring healing.
One of the things that the enemy is really good at is to, you know, like Soraya said, is to condemn us, you know, to say, well, I thought this was something that you already dealt with. So why are you, you know, going through this again? And the idea, and this is there to remind us that a life lived with God is a daily surrender. I have to come before God with a heart of surrender to him every day, where I recognize how I need to align myself under his ways and his will and his word. And my response to that is, all that I am, God, I give to you. And what I cannot do on my own, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do on my behalf as I lean on you. You know, I'm leaning on you, not on my own understanding, not my own ability, not my own strength, not, I don't have wisdom to be able to do it, but I am coming in full surrender, not just surrender, but I'm coming in complete trust, knowing, realizing how faithful, how true that you are. And God, I surrender to you today. And do you know that this is an everyday thing? The enemy says, well, you did it once, so didn't work. That's what the enemy does to condemn us. But I've got to recognize that whatever it may be, from forgiveness on down to stuff that we deal with, I come before him daily and say, today, God, I choose to surrender. I choose to surrender as I lean on you.
Cool. Any other thoughts along those lines? Keeping our eyes on the Lord. Or maybe in the last few minutes, maybe some of the obstacles that get in the way that we can jot down for next time.
I'm going to say, like, my obstacles that I don't know how to kind of work on it. It's I can't focus. So if I'm, you know, studying the Bible or something, my mind just goes everywhere. Then I'm like, oh my God, what was that? You know, I was supposed to be, you know, like studying. So I don't know how to get that mind to just focus, you know, and it drives me crazy because I'm just like, it gets frustrating to me. And then I just like, okay, I don't want to do this no more because I'm not even like, my mind just, yeah, it goes all over the place. And it just, I don't know. I don't know. It's weird.
Can I answer to that?
Sure.
I still deal with that, but I've had that problem since I was a kid, and it was really chaotic. My head was just, I felt like if I was, in my head, I was in an auditorium, like daily, from the moment I woke up to the moment I fell asleep. And what started helping me was I would put on worship before I started reading my word. And my complete focus, and it was just very specific songs on worshiping him. I exalt thee, you know, I mean, just worshiping him. And my mind would be like, it's like it was a disconnect from everything because my focus was on him. You see what I'm saying? So, and I even use AirPods, like, or headphones, or, you know, so there's no more noise, no outside noise, because that is a distraction in itself. That and then with the chaos that's going on in your head, it's chaotic. But that definitely helped me. I don't know if you want to try it, but and then I would read my word.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good tips. Thank you.
Yeah. And now I can read my word, and it still tries to come in and tries to distract me, but I just read more intensely. You know, I just, okay, you're gonna come at me with that. Okay, I'm gonna read some more then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't give into it. Like, you're gonna try to distract me, or you're going to try to get under my skin. Okay, then you're just gonna cause me to read more until he gets tired.
Got it.
Thank you.
Another thing I do, Anna, is when I pray or read at times, is I read out loud or pray out loud. And that helps with the distraction. Even if I'm in the room alone, I'll pray out loud. That helps. Yes. That helps with the to keep the focus.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Got a few more minutes left. If anybody has anything that they'd like to share along those lines, we can all learn from each other, right?
Okay, I have a question, and I don't know. So God is uprooting stuff, right? And it's a lot of selfishness. Like, this flesh reeks, right? It just reeks. So you give it to the Holy Spirit, or you tell the Holy Spirit to help you, or like, cause I'm going crazy. No. Just, you know what I mean? Like, things are coming up. And like you said, you felt like you dealt with them, and it's like, they're still there. And it's like, man, Lord, what's going on? Like, are you showing me something, or is it like, I think I'm just scared of the root.
If it's the flesh, meaning your old sinful nature, that's very different than things that you're struggling with in your soul.
What's the difference? And I know, and I'm talking about like, just, I guess I don't know the difference.
Okay.
because it's like my you mean my sinful nature as in my old life, right?
Right.
Like who I was.
Right.
Okay. No, not even, I don't even think in that. It's just things that come up that I just, I feel like walls come up, and then I feel like Soraya, like condemned. Because I'm like, man, you still have that? Like, you're selfish, or you're this, or you're that. And it's like, and I really am. Like, I do things, and then I see them, and I'm like, man, I was just being really selfish. I was just being really, you know? So is that my sinful nature, or is that something that God is uprooting? Or, because I go a little crazy in my head with it, and I'm like, man, Holy Spirit, like, what's going on here? You know, because I don't, you know?
Whatever you see being highlighted to you in this particular season, and God is so gracious that he doesn't like show us everything that needs to be done at the same time. Like, he's very patient, right? Like, he'll peel us back like an onion one layer at a time. So whatever is coming to the forefront now, if you're dealing with one particular issue, then you present that before him and you say, Lord, show me what is the root cause of this thing so that you can bring healing to it.
So does everything... is everything like healing?
Yeah, it requires healing, and it requires truth. And it doesn't have to be super emotional or super involved. It's just, I may have believed a lie at some point, a lie about God, or a lie about myself, or a lie about other people. And God wants to bring a level of healing to that particular area. He wants to bring truth. And the truth, the Bible says, sets you free. So truth helps you in that process of being free. So when you be when you get angry and walls come up, or you get fearful and you think you're going to not have enough, or you are whatever your issue is, it's because there's something deep rooted within your heart, right? And so God wants to bring a level of freedom from that particular bondage, because now you're living in bondage. And that's why earlier I said it becomes an opportunity. It's not so much something that we should be condemning ourselves over, but it really becomes an opportunity for us to say, okay, Lord, do what only you can do. Bring truth, bring clarity here. Which is a lifelong process, by the way. It's not something that we begin on Wednesday and we're done by Saturday. No, it's a lifelong process. Oh, man, come on.
I have a question about that, but I don't know if I can put the right words and how to ask it. Like when you're saying, like I know that there's times that I have to deal with some things that the Lord is bringing up, or maybe I'm praying even with Taliot, someone, and those things bring up. How can I put? Because is it that I really want? Do you think it's also inside of me that I don't want to face that, and I'm avoiding to deal with that? So that's why whatever feeling, let's say, obviously you guys know that it's the fear of someone getting sick, for instance. So then I prayed about it, and the Lord tells me everything's going to be fine, and I feel good. And then all of a sudden that thought comes. And then I think, do I really want to stop feeling this way? I don't know if I can make my question clear. Is it something inside of me that doesn't want to let go for a reason, because I do not want to face the reality? Or it's a struggle that I'm doing with my flesh and my spirit? I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is times when God is working in us. It hurts. There's times, there's things that are so rooted deep within that the idea of it coming to the surface hurts. And we don't want to deal with it. That's why we've kind of suppressed it, you know, and we're okay. We can go on with life for many years like this, as long as it's, you know, it's out of mind, out of sight, like they say. But the truth is, it's not gone. I'm still dealing with it, and it'll always come up every time things trigger, you know. So I'm still bound to it. But the idea is, because I'm not thinking about it, it's gone. But the reality is that it's not. Here's the thing. With Jesus, and we say that quite often, we say that he loves us way too much to leave us where we're at. True? When he comes, he comes to bring healing, and complete healing at that. Complete healing. God never does anything half-hearted. He won't start a job and say, okay, you're good for now, and I don't want you to go. No, he'll allow us to go through certain pain, because out of that pain, I'm going to experience complete healing and complete victory, which is what God wants for me in the process. The idea is for me to come to him, and this is the surrender part of it. You know, where I come, it hurts me and I don't understand and I don't want to deal with it. But God, if there is anyone that I can trust you. So here's the knife. You do what you need to do so that I can walk this conquered life in you, you know. But this is a process. You trust someone that you what? That you know. So we got to get to a place where we recognize, where we know who he is. And when I know him, I can come and say, here's the knife, God. I trust you. I trust you to do what I can't do. I trust you with my pain. I trust you with the confusion that I'm facing, the struggles that I have. I want what you want for me, and I want nothing less. So whatever I have to go through, I'm willing to go through it because you're with me.
Yeah.
I'm not alone. You're with me.
Yeah.
Does that answer, Soraya? I don't know.
Yes. Thank you.
And Soraya, it's also okay if you give him even a little bit of that. If you trust him with whatever that is, that fear of any shape, form, or way, it's like he'll take it, and even that little bit, it'll give you so much peace, like so much security, like and so much even freedom in that. Like I ran hard for a long time from God. And all of you guys know, I ran so hard because I rather keep that fear and that hurt, and I rather keep it than let it go and not know what's gonna happen, you know? Because I didn't know God, and I didn't trust Him at all. Like I didn't trust Him. But when I started giving even a little bit, like it's like I gave Him a little, you know, and He gave me so much peace, like a peace that I never knew. A freedom that I never knew I could live in. Yeah. So if you give them just even, if you trust them even a little bit with whatever it is that you're holding on to or that you're going through, man, he'll show you, and he'll make you feel that, like that little girl, like it's where you're safe, or where it's just, you're just safe.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Well, everybody here should have everyone's contact information, emails and texting and all the other stuff, so you guys can communicate afterwards if need be. But with that, who would like to, oh, I need someone to volunteer to pray for everyone who is struggling with this coronavirus. I think just about every home has been impacted in some way, shape, or form. And then also close us out in prayer. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. You just been volunteered, Pastor Mike.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you honor. We give you glory always, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, greatly for your love, your grace, your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of peace. You have given us freedom, Lord. You have given us the victory, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. You have defeated the grave. You have defeated the enemy, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray you help us walk in that victory, Lord Jesus. Walk in your truth, walk in the freedom, Lord. Your truth sets us free, and we pray, Lord, you help us walk in it, Lord. We pray, Father God, you help us, give us the strength to always, daily, continually set you before us, Lord. Set our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. May we meditate on your word, Lord. Meditate on your goodness, on your truth, on that is praiseworthy, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for these testimonies, these praise reports, these families that are represented, Lord, what you're doing in their lives, Father God, the transformation that is happening even now as we pray and as we speak, Father God, as we have these studies, Lord, you are transforming our lives, Lord. You're transforming, renewing our minds, Father God. You are drawing us closer and closer to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your revelation, Lord. We thank you for your spirit, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray continue to move, Lord. I thank you for your healing touch, Lord. Healing touch over those families affected, those that are affected by COVID specifically, Lord Jesus. We thank you for healing them, Lord. Father, whatever needs to happen, Lord, cleanse, remove, strengthen, Father, whatever needs to happen, you know, Father God. And we just pray for your healing touch, Lord, by your stripes, Lord Jesus, that you bore on your back, we are healed, Lord. So I thank you, Father God, and I pray for peace for those that are caring for them, Lord, young and old, Father. Peace and wisdom, Father God, as we make decisions, Father God, on how to handle it, how to deal with it, Lord. Father, may your peace, Father God, your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, cover the whole situation, the whole pandemic, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Your victory, your glory, your honor is what we call on, Lord. Your name, Lord Jesus, that is above every other name, is what we call on always, Lord. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. Continue to move in our lives. continue to move in this church, continue to move in our homes, Lord, continue to move in our communities. And we just thank you, Father God. May you be glorified always, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Love you all.
So the plan for right now is, the plan for now is, we're looking to go back to church on Sunday. If anything changes, I'll be in communications with you by email and text and all the rest of it. So
sounds good. Right.
Good night, God bless everyone. You guys.
Love you all. Have a good night.
Good night.
Praise for you.
Love you.
Thank you.